And I told somebody that that just goes to show that you better watch what you say sometimes. We think we're over things sometimes, and it doesn't happen that way. We want to lift up Gene and SC. You know, Gene and SC are truly servants of the Lord there at the Lions Club camp this week. They're taking one of their weeks off to serve others, get that camp ready for folks, for the camp system. Isn't that amazing? Amazing folks. They truly are. You know that, and I know that. And so, as we hear from the Word of the Lord this morning, we are reading from John, the 21st chapter. And we're reading verses 1 through 19. Beautiful passage of Scripture. Many of you know it well. So let's hear what the Word of the Lord says to us this morning. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were there together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." Now, if you can count like I did, you know there were only seven disciples there, right? That's what it says, seven. Where are the other five? I don't know, maybe that's another sermon sometime. But Simon Peter says, "Hey, I am going fishing." They said to him, "We're going with you." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and he plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not broken. Yet Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him this the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Do you get that? Jesus knows all things. Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you wherever you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, and I think these are two very important words, and a lot of times we miss these two words when we hear this story. he said to his disciples, follow me. He said to his disciples, follow me. He said to his disciples, follow me. Let us pray. God, we have lifted your word before you once again and before this our congregation. God, we know that the word of the Lord works in powerful and wonderful ways. May it pierce our hearts this morning so that we might learn from it, so that we might live by it, so that we might continue to find our hope and faith and good news in it for others. Use your servant now this morning as your word goes forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we live in a world today that is very fast-paced. Maybe not so much, but, well, even on Roanoke Island. But in a lot of places where many of you have been and have lived or have visited, you realize that those places are very busy. Many people today experience what some have called an emotional overload. And it's a regular part of their lives, going from day to day, trying to take care of this, trying to take care of that. And the media doesn't help. Increasingly, over and over on when we look at the internet or we look at our TVs, we look at our iPhones, and sometimes even advertisements on billboards. There's always inappropriate images and graphics that just work at the very heart and soul of who we are as a people. And we are exposed to this over and over again. We hear of it happening in the lives of people. You know, when we say somebody's gone postal, euphemism for the post office and the issues it's having, the distress of its people and how they respond to that. We've watched it happen, how people respond to stresses or foreclosure. There are stories every day in our lives. And you probably know of others. And just the financial burden and the emotional stress that puts on people, on every one of us. And because of that, the times that we take to find a time of peace and quiet solitude, a place where maybe throughout the day or week, we just don't do anything except take some time for ourselves to try and kind of get a sense of what is happening all around us. People stress out over going to work. You know, again, there's traffic issues and there's this issue and that, we're running late. So all of these things combined to make it very difficult sometimes for people to get a sense of who they are. And so many times these things just kind of numb people, numb their human spirit to what is going on all around them. And so, and for those of us that don't live in the big city, sometimes we are shocked back into the reality of life or our emotional overload begins when we get the word that someone whom we love has passed away, maybe a family member. Or our emotional load overload might begin when we realize there's difficulty in a marriage and a spouse has taken off or a spouse of a friend causing emotional overload for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Or It might be that you've lost a job. Or any of these other things. It could be a disaster that strikes the area. And all of a sudden, where we've been going through life and things have been kind of peaceful and we feel blessed, all of a sudden we find ourselves kind of in a quandary, in a tizzy, as we say in the South sometimes. And when that happens, we don't know what to do, where to go, or how to respond to it. Indeed, we know that when a crisis happens in a community, whether it be natural or not, that the first thing that the government and others want to do is they want to get some normalcy back in people's life. They want to get some routine back in the community's life, because that tends to help folks kind of get back in some kind of emotional order. And so now we have the story of Jesus and his disciples on the Sea of Galilee. And I want you to think with me for a minute about the stories of these disciples. Because if you look at their lives over the past week, we can see that their routine and their lives have been turned upside down by what had taken place in Jerusalem. Think with me about a couple of things. That week had been so tension-filled, and they had been on such an emotional high. From the moment that they entered into Jerusalem, okay, extraordinary things began to happen. Think with me for a moment. When what's happened at the temple, a Passover meal that they had with Jesus, was not like any other Passover meal they had ever had. The Garden of Gethsemane. Think about what they were going through in that moment, in that time, let alone what Jesus was going through. The betrayal, Peter's betrayal. Guards coming and arresting Jesus. A series of denials and mock trials. All of these things, a mob, you're jeering mobs, spitting and throwing all kinds of barbs at Jesus, and then finally, a bloody execution. That's the kind of week they had. You ever hear anybody say to you, "How was your week?" That's some kind of week, isn't it? My goodness. Talking about being on emotional overload. Those disciples were experiencing it that week. And so there were other things that they experienced. Well, even after the execution, then they experienced there was the news of the empty tomb, the resurrection appearances, the sightings of Jesus in different places, and some so much so that somebody like Thomas said, "Well, unless I see it, I won't believe it." Maybe you're one of those folks. "Unless I see it, I won't believe it." The events of that week not only changed the disciples forever, but it changed the world forever. Just the events of that one week. Now imagine experiencing something like. And so it's in that kind of environment that we get this scripture today. That's a great scripture. It's a powerful scripture. Because it's in that framework. That the disciples had been, they had been in a place for most people, probably driven them nuts. And far less stresses. Folks experience far less stresses, do they not? And it causes them to react, sometimes in ways that are not proper. Do you see what I'm saying to you this morning? That's where they were. That's some powerful events. I don't care who you are. And so, it's like someone says, you know, someone has made this statement, or make the statement sometimes, says, you know, I just don't believe I could take much more. You've heard folks say that. I just don't believe I can take much more of this. I imagine a couple of the disciples were saying that. What a week. How would you like to be sitting in your office or room and someone comes in there and you're counseling them after a week like that? Some of you are here. What would you say? But it's in that kind of stir, and in that kind of scenario, Peter says, hey, I'm going fishing. He has to get some kind of normalcy back in his life. He's got to get back into the routine where, you know, those moments and times out there on the lake fishing, Hank, and there's some others around here. Those are peaceful times. It's a time when you can sit and contemplate and think about what's going on. Tom, he's a fisherman. And it's a beautiful time out in the middle of a place like that. And that's what they were used to. And he says, hey, I've got, before I blow my top, I've got to get back to doing something that I know and I love. And so they're out there fishing on that lake. They fished all night. It's the late evening. They fished all night. They haven't caught anything. By the way, in other places in the Gospels, the disciples never catch any fish, or we don't know about it until Jesus is there on the scene. Have you thought about that? Doesn't happen. I'm sure they did, but the Bible doesn't tell us that they did. You think there's Jesus trying to teach them something even from the very beginning? I think so. And so Peter goes back into his routine thinking, you know, all this stuff has happened in the past. It has nothing to do with me in the present today. That's behind me. You know, I can't do anything about it. His life hadn't changed over. He wasn't contemplating any you know, how he should respond. Well, maybe he was. Maybe that's why he was out there fishing. But, see, Jesus is not going to let him stay there. Just like he doesn't want us to stay where we are. These things that had affected the disciples' life there was some teaching involved in that. There were some things to learn. And so they're out there in their routine, and a man appears on the shore. Have you caught any fish? You know the story. No? Put the net on the other side. We've been fishing all night. We haven't caught anything. They had to be obedient, didn't they? To do what the man said. Maybe they'd been there before. They said, well, we'll try. Now, you know the story. These guys are professional fishermen. They know. They know the waters. They know the wind. You know, they know how warm the water is. You know, all these guys, you talk to them, they'll tell you. Well, the fish come. You know that, those of you that live here. Throw the net on the other side. So they obeyed. Had so many fish just in those few moments. Didn't break the net. And so one of the disciples says, although they didn't recognize him at first, John, I think it's the Lord. Peter jumps in the boat and starts swimming toward him. Impetuous Peter. Jesus tells him, bring the fish over. You know, he's already cooking fish. Why does he need their fish? You know? I don't know. That might be another sermon too sometime. He's already cooking fish. Bring those fish over here. Let's put these on the grill. Awesome. And then this conversation takes place. A beautiful conversation between Jesus and Peter. We can really say that that conversation is between Jesus and us today. Peter, do you love me? Mount Olivet United Methodist Church, do you love me? Feed my lamb. Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lamb. And then two more times. Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. And I suppose that in that conversation, it begins to dawn upon Peter and the other disciples what God has called them to do, what Jesus has called them to do. He has spent his lifetime on earth teaching and training them to feed others, to teach others, to make disciples of others. And he wasn't going to let them get away with it just because things had happened in the past. Jesus reminds us in this passage of Scripture that he is with you and me, Mount Olivet and visitors, in our daily routine. We can't get away from it. See, when you became a Christian, when you took your orders of baptism, your vows of baptism, you join the church, and you receive Jesus Christ. That's not something that's done in the past. You say, okay, I'm done with that. I'm a member of the church now. I'm in. No. Just as Jesus wouldn't let Peter and the disciples forget all those things that had happened in the past, and just because it had happened did not mean that they could go on with life as usual. You get it? It is not life as usual for the disciple. It is not life as usual for you and for me. It is not. Because Jesus has given Peter a mission to do. He's given the disciples a job to do. And Jesus gives us a job to do and reminds us in this passage of Scripture what that is. If we love him, we will do it, won't we? If we love him, we will do it. If we love him, do you love me? Do you love me, Paul? Tom? Chris? Do you love me? Skip? Edgar? Rufus? Teresa? Dave, do you love me? Cam? Do you love me? Carol, Johnny, Denise, Michael, Lee, Jay, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed them. And then he says, the only way you can do it, follow me. Isn't that awesome? You got to follow me. In those moments and times when we go through those difficulties, we have to remember as the people of God. How did John, you think, the beloved disciple recognize Jesus? Remember at the Last Supper, which by the way, wasn't really the Last Supper. This one probably was here today. I mean, this one was. Because John had reclined there with Jesus and other disciples had been with him. And the Bible says he reclined at his breast. He spent time. He knew Jesus. He spent time with him. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, You know, so many times as we go through life and we let the world begin to push us and move us around, we cannot forget to spend time with Jesus in prayer so that we will recognize Him when He comes to us in our daily walk and in our daily routine. Because if we don't spend time with Him, we might not see Him at work. If we don't spend time with Him, we won't sense that love and that obligation we have as disciples to feed the lambs and the sheep. If we don't follow Him, then we are just moving and working in our own spirit and not the spirit that Jesus Christ gives and offers to us. Yes, Jesus was reminding Peter that he had been forgiven for his betrayal. But more importantly, Jesus is reminding him and his disciples what the task of the church is, and what your task and my task is, even in the world where so many times so many people don't know where to turn or who to go, where to go. We have the gospel of good news to give to them in those moments in time. We can show them Jesus in the daily routines of life and share with them, this is what you need to do to bring peace back in your life. Let us pray. Lord God, we are reminded today of how you call us in the everyday routines of life to recognize you, to sense you in our presence, and to remind us that we have a gospel to give, good news to present, and that there are so many, or maybe even some in this place, who are emotional overload today, and need to feel and sense your peace, your touch. Feed them today and feed us as your faithful persons in the world. God, we want to follow you. And we begin to follow you when we first accept you into our lives as our Lord and Savior. Then we can build the life of discipleship that you call us to live. Help us to live in that love that you have for us. Help us to continue to share that love for others as we feed your flock. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.